Podcast friends, my name is David Lee, and you're listening to the Inspire Design Create podcast, giving freelance filmmakers a voice, sharing their stories, and connecting the world of cinematography, commercial filmmaking, and starting your own business together. Let's go. Well, hello, podcast friends. Today we are talking about camera wars, right? And specifically the modular camera section that I feel like 2020 or 2020 has been a year of this modularity. I don't know what the word is. This enthusiasm for modularity, right? This isn't the first time we've seen modular cameras, right? If you look back way back at like the old Red Epic Dragon, the Red Epic, the Red Scarlet, and all like the DSMC line. I think that was the first time we saw like a modular camera system, right? Where basically it's just a brain and you add whatever you need to add to it to build it up or to keep it nice and compact, so to speak, right? And then Arri was the next to follow suit with the Alexa Mini and the Mini LF, right? A few years later, 2019 is when you saw, I think Kinfinity would be the next camera system, right? In whatever year that was, 2017 or 18, is when the Terra 4K came out, right? Super, super small camera. And even when you build it out, it's not really that big at all. And even with the Mavo LF, it's really a small camera as well. It's only like a little bit bigger than the Terra 4K. Right, so you have the modularity, right? You build out the camera to how you want it to be built out, and then you have companies like Zcam. They came out with the Zcam S6, and then now they have like the F6, and different flavors of it, the E2 Micro Four Thirds sensor, and so on and so forth. Now in 2020, we have the Red Komodo, which, I mean, it fits in the palm of your hand, right? You still have the flavors of Zcam. Panasonic just released the BGH1. And I'm going to throw this one in there because it looks very similar to the modular category, which is the Canon C70. And I'm pretty sure in the next couple of years, I don't know who else would be coming out with something like this. Maybe Sony, you never know. Sony might come out with their own modular version of a camera to compete in this market, which I think is what we're going to see for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, are variations of these modular systems, you know, like, so take, for instance, the Red Komodo is a Super 35 sensor. It's an RF mount. So what it looks like is you could probably put a speed booster on it. And I think actually Red, or someone's going to come out with a speed booster for it, so that way you can get full frame. You can use full frame lenses on the RF mount, because I don't think Canon has an RF camera that's crop sensor, right? It's all full frame. So it would make sense that on the Komodo, even though it's Super 35, just like the FS7 is Super 35, but if you put a speed booster, then you can use full frame lenses on it. And what I mean by use full frame is you can actually get full frame coverage and take advantage of full frame glass, right? So the Red is sort of like a hybrid, Super 35 and full frame, depending on if you use a speed booster or not. Zcam, you know, you have your flavors. You can get a Super 35 sensor like the S6, or you can get a full frame sensor like the F6. Panasonic, the BGH1 is, let me double check, because I want to say it's Super... Super 35 BGH1. Let's see. Should have provided this beforehand. Okay, so actually, it is not Super 35. It is Micro Four Thirds. So you can think of GH5, GH4, right? Traditional Micro Four Thirds. And then the Canon C70, pretty sure that one is Super 35. Yeah, that is Super 35. It has an RF mount, which is interesting, because kind of like what I was saying before with the Komodo, if you put a speed booster on it, then you get full frame coverage. I don't know about full frame coverage on the C70, right? But you have these modular cameras now, right? And I think we're gonna see variations of them, right? So like the BGH1, even those Micro Four Thirds, Panasonic does have full frame sensors, right? Like the S1H. So I wouldn't put it past them to be in development of a full frame version of this camera, or a Super 35 version of this camera. And the same thing with the Canon C70, right? You'll probably see some variation of the C70, right? Maybe like a C60, like a lighter weight version of this camera with, you know, Canon always tends to take things out of their camera systems for whatever reason, but still charge a good amount. And, you know, like the C70 costs $5,500 US. The Komodo is $6,000 US. The Panasonic one is actually interesting. It's only $2,000. It's $1,997. It is Micro Four Thirds, but it's still this modular system, right? 4K 60, internal 10-bit 422. You have H.264, H.265 encoding, dual native ISO, which is always great. 13 stops of latitude, which is okay. It also has V-Log L, which is a little disappointing. But they're able to squeeze out an extra stop of dynamic range compared to the GH5. The GH5 only has 12 stops in V-Log L, whereas the S1H has 14 stops because it has traditional, or it has the full version of V-Log like you would see on the Varicam. The C70, let's see, 4K. These are just some of the highlights, right? So you have 4K 120. I'm not sure if that's cropped or not. It looks like it's not cropped. There is a you can go up to 180 frames per second, but it's a two times it's a Super 16 mode, so almost like a two times crop, which is a lot. And it bumps down the resolution to 2K. It has dual pixel autofocus, which is always great for those who need it. Dual mini XLR, which is good. Timecode in and out connector, which is nice. Has built-in NDs. Something that's interesting, yeah, has dual gain ISO or dual gain output, like the C300 Mark III. So again, we're kind of in that dual ISO realm. And also interesting, it has Canon Log 2 and 3, which is interesting, because traditionally you wouldn't get those unless you were in the cinema line, like the C200. Actually, the C200 only has... No, I think the C200 has Canon Log 2 and 3. But yeah, traditionally you wouldn't get those in these like smaller cameras. You'd only get one. Like you'd get Canon Log or Canon Log 3, right? Something like that. But yeah, you know, we're in these camera wars now where the modular system is taking over a lot of the market. And I think it's because people want options, right? You want to be able to make the camera as small as you want or as big as you want. Whereas other cameras, you kind of have to deal with the size, right? So like the Ursa Mini Pro is a great example of that. You can't build that camera down. You're stuck with the size of the camera. You can only go bigger. That's why I like cameras like the FS7 and the FX9, because they're not so big where you can't go handheld if you need to for a quick shot, or if you're filming like say a documentary, something run and gun, where you can literally just use a camera as it is with the top handle and a lens and a monitor, right? There are plenty of reasons why people like using cameras like the Red and like the Alexa Mini, because they have the option of keeping it nice and compact, or they can build it out, right? And so there is a very big market for cameras like the Red Komodo, the Zcam flavor, the flavors of Zcam, the Lumix BGH1, the Canon C70, right? There's a market, because say you are on a shoot and very minimal crew, maybe it's just three people or just one other person with you. You have, say, a couple of shots on a slider. You have some locked off shots. You also have a gimbal, some gimbal shots, and maybe you are actually hiring, say, a drone operator, right? Some like a quadcopter, not like a DJI drone, but like an actual quadcopter system where you can put a camera on the drone, right? So you have a lot of different shots you can get. It would be difficult to balance some of those if, say, you only had like a mirrorless camera, right? Or if you had an Ursa Mini Pro, or if you had an FX9, right? Cameras like these, you can actually build them out and build them down, and how that works out for you is on a slider. For the most part, the slider is horizontal, right? So if you have sliding shots left and right, for product shots, right? Or maybe you're sliding into a revealing shot into a room, right? You don't want the weight to be too far forward, too far back, just kind of gimbal, right? You want it to be centered. With cameras like these modular cameras, you can build them out in such a way where they won't be too front heavy or too back heavy, right? So that way you have easier time sliding the camera left and right. And then when you move on to the gimbal shots, same thing. You don't want the motors to be working so hard, so you can save weight here and there by having, say, power that's on the gimbal rig itself rather than on the camera system itself. And then you can play around with the monitor as well, too. The monitor doesn't have to be on the camera. It can be attached to some kind of like magic arm system on your gimbal rig. So that saves weight. And then when you move to say locked up shots on sticks, then you can build it out as much as you want, depending on the weight of your tripod head. And then when you move to the drone stuff, then again, you can save off weight. You can probably use the same setup that you had on the gimbal because of the modular design of the camera, right? So that's a very strong appeal. And that's why a lot of people like using cameras. A lot of Zcam owners, and I'm going to see a lot of new BGH1 owners and C70 owners and Red Komodo owners because of the flexibility of the modular system. For me, I'm not a huge fan of the modular system just because of typically how I work, right? I generally need to work a little bit faster because of crew sizes, right? So camera systems like any of the C300 type of cameras, the FS7 type cameras, the FX9 type of cameras, built-in XLRs, built-in NDs, like the C70 has built-in NDs. I don't know if the BGH1, the Lumix one has. I'm looking at the specs right now. I don't see built-in NDs. It doesn't have built-in NDs, right? The Zcam doesn't have built-in NDs, but you can get like the mount that has like an electrical variable ND, just like with the Canon RF mount, it has the little slot in for variable NDs, right? But the one thing about those the one thing I don't like about those is it doesn't have a clear option, right? It's pretty much like one stop of ND to whatever the maximum is, right? There's times when you want to clear out the ND really quick, and that's why having built-in NDs is better, because you can go from clear all the way to whatever stop it is that you need. But yeah, I mean, there's so many different like purposes for these cameras, like studio setups. Maybe you're working in a production house and you have an actual studio that you bring clients in for product shots or whatever it is. You could easily have one of these just sitting on a tripod already built out and just turn it on and you're good to go. I can see YouTubers using this a lot because it's so small that you could literally just, hide it in a corner in whatever your studio setup is. For live streaming, I think these were great cameras, especially like the BGH1, because it's so, because it has dual native ISO, right? You have that working for you. When you're in not so good lighting conditions, you have V-Log L, which is still pretty good for a dynamic range. And it's so small, that you could hide it in the little corner and use it for like live streaming or web, YouTube live, Zoom calls, things like that, right? And then you can take it off and go film whatever it is that you're filming with, right? The prices are all pretty competitive. They're less than $6,000, right? I mean, the Komodo is right at $6,000. So very competitive when it comes to price point. They all have lots of great features in it, from 4K to 6K, full frame to Super 35, log options, you know, high frame rate options. So it's looking pretty good for a lot of people who are maybe looking into a different type of camera system, right? Maybe you've been using DSLRs for a while or mirrorless cameras for a while. And I mean, like that will never go away, right? The A7S3s of the world and the S1Hs of the world, right? Because there's still going to be a need for people who do photo and video, right? There's always going to be that need. And cameras, like these modular cameras, they don't do photos, right? Unless you do like a time-lapse feature on it, then you can, you know, pull stills that way. But, you know, there's still like, which is why a lot of people want to go with the Reds, right? Because they want the 8K. It's basically, you can do, you know, a time-lapse function on the Reds and pull 8K stills, right? Which is pretty, really handy if you're out in the field all the time. But there's always going to be a need for like photo and video, right? People are going to do that work all the time. So those cameras won't go away. I think you're going to see more of these cameras, though, these more modular cameras that have a lot of functionality in them, a lot of features in them, that aren't necessarily going to compete against like the big boys, right? So, if you're looking at, say, the Canon C70, even though it has very similar features to like a C300 Mark III, with Canon Log 2, 3, with 4K 120, 2K crop at 180, Super 35 with, you know, dual gain output, built-in NDs. Yeah, it has built-in NDs, built-in dual XLR. This is not going to be like your A camera over a C300 Mark III or a C500 Mark II, right? This is going to be for people maybe with like a C100 Mark II that are just looking to upgrade, solid upgrade. C200 owners, yeah, I mean, like this actually is probably a better camera than the C200, and it's smaller too, right? So I would say for C200 owners, they're probably looking at something like this. But again, it's not going to be a replacement for like the higher end cameras, like the C300 Mark IIIs, the C500 Mark IIs. Those still have traits of the camera that will dominate cameras like this, right? Same thing with like the NA7S III is not going to be a replacement for an FX9. It's just not, you know? That camera still lacks built-in NDs, it still lacks built-in XLRs. And you can say, well, I can get XLRs through, you know, the hot shoe mount. Yeah, but then that's something you have to actually add on. Whereas the FX9 already has it built into it, you know, in a very ergonomic way. And built-in NDs, you can't compete with built-in NDs, you know, like variable NDs and scroll NDs and map boxes, those are all gonna be accessories that you add to the camera, right? But nothing is ever going to beat a built-in ND, right? Like just how quick it is. So yeah, modular wars, man, camera wars is crazy, you know? And then there's other camera systems that were just released, like Fuji just released their XS10 mirrorless camera. And then who else? Yeah, Nikon just released the Z6 Mark II and the Z7 Mark II. So there's a lot of cameras going on, and apparently I guess we're not in a pandemic anymore, because who the hell has the money to make all these cameras anymore, you know? Who knows? Anyways, that is it for today's episode, friends. If you haven't rated the podcast, please rate it. I'd appreciate it. Share it with your friends. Tell them to subscribe so that way they can receive all the goodness, all the funness, all the education from this podcast. And looking forward to see you guys in the next episode. Ciao.